works too hard for you. And Lord, in faith, we receive from you because your power is working in this place today. So we ask you to do what you want to do and to enable us by your grace to receive your work in our lives to the glory of your great name. Amen. When it comes to confirmations, one of the things that I like to do is have a verse, a particular verse for that confirmation or for that season of confirmations. And then if anybody comes up to me with a new Bible they have or whatever to sign, I usually write that verse in it. And very often the verses that I give to people at confirmations are ones they don't know. But today, the verse I want to give you in this year of mission, as Gareth has already mentioned in the diocese, is a verse which all of you already know in this church today, I bet. So I'm going to say the first three words of the verse, and you're going to tell me the last two. Ready? Ye must be born again. Well, I think about 20 people knew. Let's do it again. Ye must be
born again.
Right. Now, in this part of the country, you know that verse, don't you? You know that verse because you've seen it on placards at the front of 12th processions, or you've seen it on big posters, or painted up in farmyard barns, or given to you in tracts. And sometimes some people may even have felt a bit cornered by people with that verse. And it may be a verse that makes a lot of people think, yes! And a lot of other people think, oh, I'm not sure about that. And what I want to do simply at this confirmation service this morning is to expound that verse by taking every single one of the five words in it and explaining what they mean. That's what I'm going to attempt to do. So that everybody in this church, in human terms at least, hopefully will go away at the end of this service and say, yeah, I really know what that verse means. And perhaps even there was a slant or an angle on it that I didn't know before that I know now. In the version that we have just read, it tells us in verse 7, it's chapter 3, verse 7, Jesus says to Nicodemus, who of course is like a bishop of his day, a religious leader of his day, a person who took his faith very seriously indeed and sought to live out his faith as best he could by the grace of God. And Jesus says to him in verse 7, doesn't tell you the verses there, but it's the third paragraph down on the second page, Nicodemus, you should not be surprised at me saying you must be born again. It said in the old version, marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. And what we don't notice in that kind of language is that one of the times that he uses the word you, it's singular. Because Nicodemus has come to Jesus by night. He's creeping in, as it were, when no one will see him. And Jesus is having a very personal conversation with Nicodemus face to face. And so the first time that he says it to him, he says, Nicodemus, marvel not that I say to you, singular. And then he says, yous must be born again. Now, I know there are some parts of the diocese in which I have to say it that way, and I say, this is one of them, isn't it? Yousens. Yousens must all be born again. There are other places which shall be nameless where I have to say, to explain it to them, one must be born again. But this is not one of those places. Nicodemus, I say to you, singular, Yousans all need to be born again. That's what it actually means. And what Jesus is saying to Nicodemus here is not just a truth that is for Nicodemus as an individual person, but it's something which relates to the whole of humanity. It's something which relates to every single person. There is no person in this church today who is somehow outside of this truth. There is no person who can somehow find another way into the kingdom of heaven. When Liz and I went to live in Cork many years ago now, nearly 30 years ago now, 26, one of our very first visitors was a lady whose son was going to the same school as our son was about to go to, and we were going to share lifts, and she came in to introduce, that's her idea at least, she came in to introduce herself, and having introduced herself and given us her name, she said, "I'm born again." And Liz and I immediately said, "So are we." And you know something? She was surprised that a Church of Ireland rector said, "So are we." I mean, this is not just a truth for gospel halls or churches that are somehow out there. This is not even just a truth for the Church of Ireland. This is a truth, says Jesus to Nicodemus, for the whole of humanity. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit, and this is something which God wants for every single human being, and something that every single human being needs if they're going to be in the kingdom of God. And that's why the second word. Jesus could have said to Nicodemus, "Nicodemus, it would be a lovely thing if you were born again. It would be very nice for you if you were born again. It would fulfill everything you ever wanted in your life if you were born again. You may be born again. You might be born again." He didn't even say you should be born again. He said you must be born again. There's an absoluteness about the word must. Just as it's not possible to enter into human life without birth. Anybody here enter in any other way? Gareth? No? No? Myrtle? No? No, not even in St. Saviour's, Craig Avon? No? Not even St. Saviour? Right? Well, St. Saviour never existed, so he was all right. You must be born again. That's why we perceive it as a kind of finger-wagging verse, isn't it? Because as soon as we hear somebody say to us, "You must go that way," we want to go this way. You see that advertisement about voting on the television? "You're not allowed to go up that escalator," but she is. "No, I'm going to go up that escalator," right? So as soon as somebody says the word must, there is something in our humanity, in our perhaps sinful, fallen humanity that wants to say, "No, I mustn't." And that's why the next word is really important. You see, Jesus doesn't say to Nicodemus, "You must born yourself again." That's the bit most of us don't get. We think when somebody says, "You must be born again," they're asking us to make a decision. Well, can I ask you, how many people in this church made a decision to be born? Nobody. How many people in this church remember the moment they were born? None. You don't born yourself, you are born. It's something that happens to you. It's something which is done to you. You're probably not even aware it's happening at the time. I was sharing something of my just a little bit of my testimony, as I often do, in Knocknamuckley recently. And I was telling people that I came to faith in Christ 50 years ago on, and I was going to say the 24th of July, 1965, when a lady at the front of the congregation said, 24th of July, 1965. I thought, have I told my testimony so often that everybody knows the date? It's like John Wesley. And I said to her afterwards, how did you know that? And she said, because I came to faith in Christ on the 24th of July, 3 years later, at a GB camp in Knocknamuckley. And then she called her husband over and said, tell him. He said, well, I came to faith on the 24th of July, 1965, exactly the same day as you, at a BB camp in Ballycastle. Now, when I came to faith, we were asked to put our hands up. Great thing to do, to make a decision. But you know, as I analyze that and look back over that, I see more clearly than ever, the older I get, that on one level, there was no decision to be made. Because God, the Holy Spirit, had brought about new life in me in such a way that when the gospel was proclaimed, there was really no question about it. Because when the Holy Spirit is at work in your life and the gospel is proclaimed, there is something in your heart that is saying, yes, that is true. There is something in you that realizes that Jesus did not just die, he died for me. There's something that says yes to the fact that God doesn't just love the world, but he has set his love on you. And at that moment, because of the new life that is coming to birth in you, you want to say yes to everything that God is offering and everything that God is leading you into. And without his regeneration, without God being at work in us, we would never in a million years even begin to understand. So Nicodemus, what has to happen in you? And what has to happen in every one of us is to do with the work of the Holy Spirit of God, who, like a wind, blows where he wills and brings people to life here and here. You've been seeing that here over this last time, this last period of time. And out of that come decisions of faith. Born is a wonderful analogy. I have two granddaughters who live very near to here, and one of them was one yesterday, Annabelle. And my first son and his wife are expecting a baby in August. And I often think when I look at, I can't say pregnant women, but you know, you can know what I mean. When I look at people who are pregnant, especially whom you know, your own family, and you hook and you poke and you begin to try to relate to the little fetus within the womb and then the developing child or baby within the womb, did you ever ask the question, what is it like in there? Did you ever ask that question? Maybe I'm odd, but I do. I think it's a bit wet. It's a bit dark, right? I wonder what the little baby inside the womb makes of all the hooking and poking and what's going on outside. The truth is that that little baby would have no concept whatever of what the big world is like outside. And when the baby is born and it takes a bit of time to adjust to this, it enters into a world of air and a world of color and a world of relationships and a world of beauty and imagination and a world of touch and sound and sense and sight, which it could never have understood in the womb. And I think what Jesus is saying to Nicodemus is, Nicodemus, the world that you inhabit, the religious world even that you inhabit, is only just a wee part of the story. There is a new world of new dimensions in the Spirit of God for those who are born again in Jesus Christ. And we see it in people. We see the new believer absolutely lapping up the Bible, wanting to learn more about the faith, wanting to pray, wanting to bring other people into a relationship with Jesus Christ, wanting to be with the people of God, all the signs of life when God brings us into that fourth dimension, which is his kingdom, which no one outside the kingdom can really understand. And then the last word, you must be born again. I think it said again in your version, didn't it? Yes, it did. But your rector is a very intelligent person. He knows his Greek and he knows his New Testament, and he understands that this little verse, you must be born again, explodes at the end. Because nobody really knows whether the right translation is you must be born again, that is for a second time, that is obviously true, or whether the right translation is you must be born anew, like in our reading from 2 Corinthians. If anyone is in Christ, new creation, the old has passed and everything has become new. Or whether it means you must be born from above. I think it's lovely that verse explodes at the end, because it kind of says there's more to this than can even be captured in words. It is absolutely true that we experience in Christ a second birth. It is absolutely true that we experience it because that birth has come from above. And it is absolutely true that in Christ everything is made new. And to those of you being confirmed today, in that collect you already heard that phrase, we who are born again. You'll hear it again and again and again. And my prayer for you is that you would know what it is to be truly living in Jesus Christ. An old rector in Dublin, C.A.B. Williams, some of you may have known him, in St. Luke's in the Coombe in Dublin in those days when I was a student. I remember somebody saying to him, Does it matter whether you have a day and a date? I have a day and a date. That's lovely. Very nice for me. He said, you know, doesn't matter in the slightest. I mean, after all, who would have the day and date of their birth? I'm saying to you, he didn't say this, unless it was on a certificate. He said, the important thing is not to know when you were born. The important thing is to know that you're alive. So I look forward to confirming you, to hearing you declaring your faith, and to doing that wonderful thing that bishops are called to do, praying the power of the Holy Spirit into your life.